Right, right.
All right, it is 6 p.m. on Monday, May 20th, 2019. I'd like to call the Village of Alloway Plan Commission to order. We'll begin with roll call. Wheeler?
Here.
Dart?
Here.
Norris here. Kowalczyk Adrians?
Here.
Nyberg?
Here.
Okay. Item number two, modify or adopt the agenda. Are there any modifications? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Item number three, election of chair.
I nominate Heather.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Item number four, election of vice chair. I believe there was a nomination for Wes.
He's not here, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's
here. And Howard was.
Howard was.
And he's 30.
Served
his term.
There's no limit for vice chair, but he has served several.
Yes. Yeah. So as long as Wes would agree, I would nominate Wes or second it.
Either way, I'll second.
I'll nominate Wes.
Okay. Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Item number five, minutes from April 22nd, 2019. I do have one change for sure, and it is on the agenda under the excused where Ralph is listed. He was chair that night, so that should be.
So he must have been here.
He was here.
Oh, he's on both.
Yeah. Otherwise, if there are no changes, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to approve. Minutes as modified.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Item number six, announcements.
I have quite a few community events here. Just going to make the announcements quick. First one tomorrow night at the Crest Family Library in the Pier. There's the Historic Tax Credits seminar. I do not have a time on that. Second one, Miracle League opening day will be June 1st, Saturday, June 1st. Next we have the Bellin Run, June 8th. Alloway Fest on June 9th. We have Movies in the Park, our first movie in Green Isle at 7 p.m. On June 7th. And then Pooches and Pines, our second event, is June 13th for 4:08 p.m. in Green Isle.
I have one to add. St. Matthew's Parish Picnic is June 2nd.
Okay. Any other announcements? Okay. Item number seven, public appearances. The public appearances section of the agenda is authorized by Wisconsin Statute 19.84.2 and allows members of the public the opportunity to bring items not specifically listed on the agenda present. The committee shall not take action on the matters raised during the public comment period if the subject was not on the agenda. If anyone would like to come forward and speak on an item that's not already on the agenda, I'm assuming most of you hear from that, you can come forward, just state your name and address.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I just passed out some Google Maps with distances on it, showing the distance along the Fox River Trail between legal access points. Fox River Trail is about 3 miles, just under 3 miles long in Alloway, and there is a 1.5-mile stretch with zero legal access. People have to cut across private property to get in there, and there's quite a few planned developments going on the drawing board for that area, and I'd like to make sure that the plan commission requests from the village board that the public have access to the river, both from St. Joseph Street and from Alloway Avenue. So there is from Marine to Lazar, that's 1.7 miles, and there's no legal way to get to the trail for anybody in those neighborhoods. So if you can just request to the board that they make sure that we get access to it, that'd be great. Thanks.
The new trail is about, especially the block. Just from here to here.
Is there anyone else who has any items? No? Okay. We'll move to item number 8. Action regarding petition from Andrea Lynn Burkle requesting the rezoning of parcel AL-1233-1 located at 120 East Alloway Avenue and further described in the agenda, formerly the Brian's Barber Shop. Trevor, if you want to lead us off.
Yes, so as I believe many of you know, this used to be Brian's Barber Shop, okay, near the corner of Alloway Avenue and Webster. It used to be a barbershop and also a residence. And that's actually a non-conforming use. It was existing, since gone vacant on the business side. And the new owners are looking at opening up a pet grooming business where the barbershop used to be and then maintaining the residence on the other side. So in order to do that, they need to rezone it to commercial and then also receive the conditional use for the residential component. I believe in the staff memo it had talked about parking, and that issue has been addressed, or that question has been addressed. I think between both uses, they only need three parking stalls, and they have more than enough on the site. So the petitioner is here tonight if you do have any questions.
Trevor, wouldn't that be a mixed use?
Yes.
We don't have mixed use right now.
Oh.
But we will.
We will have mixed use.
So this is actually kind of one of two items about the same property. The first item will be about rezoning, specifically to commercial.
Oh, I see.
And then the second item will be a conditional use request for the residential component to it.
So
when it gets to be, when we have mixed use, perhaps we can rezone it?
Correct.
Oh.
Yes.
So right now it's a non-conforming mixed use?
Correct, yes. Because of the change of use and because the use has...
I get it.
The business has sat vacant.
So you've thought this all through already, right. I see.
Well, I think the first portion is pretty cut and dry. Move to approve?
Yeah.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor? Sure.
Do we want to make comments?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Can we do it now?
Is there a motion to suspend the rules?
Motion to suspend the rules.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
You can come forward. Just state your name and address.
Karen Thomas, and I'm at 133 East Alloway Avenue, kitty corner from the proposed dog grooming. When I got the letter, and some of my neighbors are here too, some of them wanted to be but were out of town this week, we had a couple questions that this letter didn't answer, and it sounds like you just answered one of the questions now, that it's going to move from something that is already professional and residential. Now it's going to be moving to completely professional and residential. Is that, what class is that? If it's C right now, what class would that be?
It actually would be, I don't think it's really changing much.
Okay.
They had a conditional use permit.
Okay.
But what was it? It must have been something else.
Yeah. Right, right. The zoning was professional office and residence district. The use, though, was commercial before. It just was a non-conforming or his grandfather did.
Okay. Okay, thank you. That being said, that's, you know, I don't think that any of my neighbors, and I don't want to speak for them, have a problem with the requested type of business there, dog grooming. Won't be open late. Won't have a lot of, LED lighting around it. Won't have a lot of noise issues, except maybe during the day with some barking.
Very seldom.
Yeah.
Because they usually just in and out in about an hour.
So. Oh, because we have barking dogs in our neighborhood.
So. Oh, yeah. You'll be quieter than the neighbors.
The question that we have then is, because we have worked, that area where we live, is this on?
Yeah.
Okay. That area where we live, long ago, was all residential. And those of us who've lived there, been there a long, long time. And we worked when OSCO came in, we worked with them to get that building 30% smaller and to have better outside aesthetics and to have more green space. When Harry Mako wanted to put three-story apartment buildings where old Alloway School apartments are now, we worked with the board to because the Miramar residents absolutely were upset with that. So we worked with them on that, and we like what's there now. The CVS is fine. And we worked with you guys, you may remember, a year or so ago when the BP wanted to tear down the house at the corner of Dauphin and Woodrow, and they wanted to put a fast food restaurant in there. And thankfully, everyone came together for the noise, the mess, and everything, but especially the kids. So what we would like to get out of this, now that we know what is going in there, what about if something happens to that business, not that anyone wants it to, but if something happens to that business, what type of business can now go in there? I mean, what we don't want to see is something like a Burger King. I know it's a small lot, but we don't want to see something like that. So is it possible to have a covenant in there, or is that not possible in this situation? For example, if Ms. Burkle had decided in 2 years or 5 years she wanted to sell. Because we're all worried about property values where we live. Alloway Avenue, as you know, is very busy. So that's one of the things we wanted to take into consideration, because residents were there first a long, long time ago. And I was born on Webster when there was a house there where the coin places in UPS now, and that was a house. So residences have been there for a long time, and we just want to make sure that our residential neighborhoods stay residential to as much as they can. So to answer that question, I'm sure you don't want me to restate it, but is there anything that can be done if Ms. Burkle decides to sell, so that we don't get something in there that would be more toxic to the neighbors?
I can comment on that. Commissioner Mikes?
Please.
Okay. So right now we are going through the process of rewriting our zoning code. Our current zoning code has a commercial district which allows a variety of things. Wouldn't allow a drive-through restaurant. It would have to be rezoned to like a highway business use for that under current zoning code. However, it would allow other things found in commercial, small shop or something like that. When we redo our zoning code, we will have more districts to choose from so that we can more classify it more appropriately. Maybe have like a transition district that's mixed use, something like that. But that will be about a year down the line.
Okay.
But right now, if it was to be rezoned commercial, it could potentially be a variety of different things, one of which would not be a drive-thru restaurant.
Okay. Or a tavern or anything like that.
A tavern, maybe. But that would be restricted by liquor license.
Mm-hmm.
So then you'd have some ability to come to the village board and have a negotiation there.
I think that's what we'd want, my neighbors, that we'd want that ability to come to the board, right, Rick, Kathy, and then, ready?
Yeah,
that's what we would want. And the neighbors who aren't here. I think that satisfies me.
I think Karen also with that piece of property, there would never be enough parking for too many choices.
I think so too. I did put most of those in a letter that I just want to officially give. And I'm sorry, my printer's all screwed up. So.
You're good.
Thank you. Thank you very much for listening.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay. Is there a motion to pick the rules back up?
Do we have any other comments?
Yes. Are there any other comments on item number 8 on the agenda? Public comment. If not,
move to return to regular session.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
So we have to get a motion and a second.
Yes, there was a motion and a second on the table. So if everyone's okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. We move to item number 9. Petition regarding Andrew Lynn Burkle requesting conditional use permit for the approval of the previously discussed property from item number 8.
I move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
So then for the benefit of the public, this will go for to the vote board meeting tomorrow night. But just to schedule a public hearing, typically what's custom of the village board is they reserve all discussion for the public hearing. So the soonest the public hearing would occur would be June 18th.
June. Okay. All right. Item number 10, action regarding petition from Thomas M. Ulrich requesting rezoning of parcel AL-1038 located at 535 Green Avenue. As described in the agenda, formerly known as the Village of Alloway Waterworks Pump House.
Ma'am, you have your mic on?
Yes, sorry. Can you hear me now?
A little bit better.
All right. Move a little closer. Is that better?
No, I guess so.
All right. Okay, we're on item number 10.
Yes, and we will be calling Thomas O'Rourke petitioner via phone.
Okay.
Had it all hooked up and it worked. Just looks for a plug-in for that, and there should be 126. Do you see 126?
B126.
Nope, that's 128.
I think that's 126, isn't it?
No, I think this is one B128 and 129, 30,
31. Oh, no, we don't have it over here.
Go back over this.
Yeah, 126 over there?
I have 17, 18, 19, 120. No.
Just down here. You're at 122.
This was the one we used, but.
Nope. At least it's not 126.
But it worked. I came in and I even dialed it. It is an 8. Holy cow, I thought it was a 16.
We totally believe you, Brad.
Is it covering up?
You might have to use your cell phone. You want my cell phone, Charlie?
Yeah.
just a few.
28, 29, 30, 31. I'm all about like 126 to be skipped. It's not
fine. Thomas?
All right, it's Brad. We're going to put you on speaker on my phone, okay? Yeah.
Okay, can you hear us, Thomas?
I can hear you. Yes.
All right.
Real.
How about now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Perfect.
All right, so I can start off real quick. I think everyone's pretty familiar with this building. We've talked about it for quite a while. As the village used to own this property and has since sold it to Thomas Rourke, the petitioner, they do have a proposed use for the building being a start out, a tool library, and a pop-up art studio or art gallery, I'm sorry, pop-up commercial space. That would be phase one. And that's what they're looking at right now. Right now, I think I have in here questions or concerns about parking. With phase one, they meet the parking needs. Future, they're looking at additional phases that would include additional gallery space as well as residential components. So then that would be the reason for the second item following this would be the conditional use for the residential component.
So there's no residential in the first phase?
Correct. Is it, that's correct, Tom?
Yeah.
So right now we're looking at commercial for the zoning commercial for their tool library and the pop-up commercial space. Right, currently it's zoned village owned. And I believe in your packet you have if you look at page 7, you have a building layout of what they the top of the page shows the street side. So you have the existing garage, and then behind it is the tool library space, and then adjacent to the garage, still facing the street, is the art studio or the pop-up commercial space. Tom, I know Tom's on the phone. He has done quite a bit of work to the building already, and I'm sure he'd be happy to talk about that if the commission chooses.
Yes, I could.
I would like to hear that.
Okay, so we replaced the roof over the garage. We pulled out all the old three-phase electrical from the entire property, bought in brand new electrical, and moved the meter from in front of the house to the side of the house. We're bringing a brand new water line and a brand new gas line. And we pulled out all of the platforms from the mechanical equipment that was in the pump house. So now it's just a shell, a smooth plaster shell, everything inside. And we'll be replacing the half bath in the main house and putting a small little kitchenette area in the receiving area of the pop-up gallery. They have a place to wash up dishes and stuff.
So what are the... Do we have to vote on two things tonight?
Yes, similar to the previous item.
Okay, so what are those two things?
So the first item would be the zoning, so commercial or not. And that would... Commercial would allow the Tool library, the art studio, and then future gallery space. And then the conditional use following this on the next item would be to allow residential components to the space. Now, the residential components down the road might, if they do add on to the exterior of the building, might have to come before the Planning Commission for a site plan review. But the use would be allowed. So then the site plan review would just be looking at the exterior modifications. Wouldn't be looking at the use.
So I know I'm looking at the packet for 11, but in the packet for item number 11, on the... would it be the fourth page? There's sort of a breakdown of the phases. And under phase one, it says pop-up art gallery and residence. And under F, rezone is commercial with multi-residential. So I just want to make sure, I just wanted to clarify that. That was my reason for asking
sure.
if there's residential, because I saw that in the next item. So.
Tom, I don't know.
I can't hear that question.
So in the second packet that we have for the conditional use permit, you have a document that sort of has each phase broken out and the items below it. And under phase 1D, it says pop-up art gallery and residence. That was just my question, is whether or not phase 1 was going to include residential space or not.
I won't know that until I get in there and start dealing with what the state's going to require me to do as far as putting in a cheater floor and leveling it. My best goal is to convert the square tank into 3 half bathrooms for the gallery, and the rest of the square tank would be a two-bedroom, one or two-bath living space for the curator of the gallery and workspace. And then the bottom and the back, the big round tank, turns into a 3,600 square foot gallery with no light. So it's all just gallery space in the square, in the round tank in the back. In a perfect world, I want the square tank to be the living space and the round tank to be the major gallery. And then we'd have to, if you could imagine, if you just carried the two lines from the square tank directly back to the round tank, and took out the middle piece of land in between, that'll be the receiving area for the rear tank gallery. But if there's ever big exhibits in the rear tank, they would use the four bathrooms in the front gallery as their bathroom space. So there'll be no plumbing in the back tank, but it will have heating and air conditioning for gallery space. It'll be gallery space or storage, one of the two. Because it's about 3 or 4 feet underground. And then phase 5 or 4, if I can't remember how I had it labeled there, in the event we ever build something on top of the tank, that would be a residential space or gallery space. But I'm not sure. That's a $200,000 investment in the future, so that's like a pipe dream. But the main thing is to get the two things done now.
Is there going to be enough parking for a pop-up gallery?
There's plenty of parking for a pop-up gallery right now.
It's classified as a general commercial, and yes, we have enough.
Okay.
Should we see if somebody wants to comment on it? Maybe.
Sure. Is there a motion to suspend the rules?
Motion to suspend the rules.
There a second?
Second.
I can't hear what you're saying. We're just suspending the rules for public comment.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So if you'd like to come forward and state your name and address, then you can speak.
My name is John Rebholz. My wife, Therese Rebholz, owns the property on the west side of this proposed building. We don't have any real opposition to it, but I would like to see some site plans on parking. Their west property line will be abutting to our east property line. And I'm curious how their egress and ingress is going to be affecting us, and if there's going to be any removal of turf area that's there now, and obviously if it's their property, I have no problem with it. I just would like to know an aerial view, a plan view, how it works on the west side. If it affects us, if it affects us at all.
The west side, the right or the left?
The west side, as you're facing the building from the street, would be the left.
Okay. It all comes right down the driveway. If we do it, we have to take it down from the driveway on the left-hand side where the utility door is going in, and we just come straight in from there. If I make the housing in the front, I've got to take it down right away. If I turn the back into a gallery, I've got to take it down all the way around because there's a frost barrier at about 4 feet.
Understood.
So the same level of your driveway is where I have to take it down. Mm-hmm. That way I get all the way around the tank. I'd end up either with grass or most likely parking for about 25 cars. But I haven't laid that out yet, exactly how I'm going to do the parking. But I know I have enough spots for 16 cars without doing anything in the very back.
Okay, so the round tank will be removed eventually for your parking and...
No, the round tank will be the gallery. There's dirt around the round tank will be removed.
So the parking area for 25 cars are where?
All around the whole berm, going all the way around. If you take the berm all the way down,
right,
you've got about 20 feet from the berm to the end of the property lines, all the way around.
Okay.
And I can get you an aerial map.
Okay. And there's not any, nobody's asking for any entrances on the west side of your property line. It'll all come off of Green?
No. But where the driveway is between our two structures, I'd probably bring the driveway closer to the building and push it back about 15 feet and get more space right there also.
What is the encroachment to property lines on adjacent properties in LA?
I would not be encroaching on any of your property lines at all.
No. What
100%
is the
of my land?
Setback.
Setback, excuse me.
What's the setback?
There's like a 2-foot grassy section between the end of my property line and your parking lot. If you wanted that blacktop or concrete, then I'd do that if that was requested.
Like
your garbage can that's in the parking lot behind my building, that's on my land. The garbage can enclosure, where that temporary garbage can thing is,
that's
sitting
okay.
on my land.
Okay, that has nothing to do with us.
I believe, Tom, that's a different property line.
I have a good idea where my property line is, right there.
We own prop suitable for framing.
Yep.
Yes.
I didn't hear that one.
They own the property at 529 Green Avenue.
Yes.
I believe the garbage dumpsters you're referencing are belong to
the
apartments to the rear.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just curious on how it's going to look or be and suitable for framings, parking lot slash building. So
yeah, well, the building footprint will not change whatsoever, except for if you just extend the square white tank straight back in a perfect line to the rear tank, and then that little void between the round tank and the square tank, mm-hmm. all the way over the other side on the east side, you square it there. That'll become the receiving area for the round tank. So everything will be coming in and out of there, and I don't want to put garage doors in, which was one option we talked about doing, but I don't want to bring in a ramp on the side of the house, just because we already are 3 feet under grade in the back, 2 to 3 feet, depending on which end.
Will the main and or only entrance to your property be along the west boundary
no.
of your property?
We'll also have a secondary exit on the east side. I have to have 2 exits for the tanks at all times.
Okay.
And I might be cutting a 3rd exit going into the owner's unit just as an emergency exit, but we haven't finalized that with the state yet.
Is there going to be a 2-story building there or a 1-story?
Anyway. In a perfect world, that's what I'd like to do is make a round 2-story structure up there, so it looks like a proper water tank, like in the Pennacle Junction there's a need for it, I'm just not sure if it's a major need. If it is, then I can make a duplex in the back for visiting residences and stuff. I have friends who've made these, that attend these art pop-up shops all over Europe, where they have students and residents for a summer, and everybody lives on site, and that was what I was envisioning for it to be. But it's going to be $100,000 to build the structure around the round tank. It would be the same footprint as the round tank, totally round, 3 or 4 bedrooms, a kitchen, 4 bathrooms, everything. For residents and students that want to live on site, ideally.
Just two definitions, if you would. What is a pop-up gallery and what is a tool room?
A tool room is for people who live in the community. And if you go inside your garage, you haven't used a third of your tools, but they still take up a lot of space. You donate them to the tool library. You still own them. They stay at the tool library, and the tool library lets them out to other people in the community. It's a non-profit situation. I don't want any heavy-duty equipment in there, but people need sledgehammers, shovels, saws, nails, hammers, gardening tools. It's a place for them to go work and borrow the tools without being charged money for them, and they belong to the community. At any time, you can come say, I'd like my hammers back or all my sledgehammers back. And then in the event we ever close the place down, I can send you a note saying, take your hammers back, or I'm going to donate them to this charity. I don't own them. People always own them. It's a tool library, like a local public library, and that's how that works. And a pop-up gallery is, if you go online, there's a company called DeviantArt, which is the largest art dealer in the world. It's all online. They've got about 7,000 artists in Wisconsin that the one thing an artist really wants to do, he wants to see their paintings and artwork exhibited, and it's meant to exhibit online because it doesn't cost anything. I can let them exhibit in a space where they can have the space for $100 a night or $500 for the week, and they can have 2 or 3 openings at a time showing their artwork there. But they don't, it's not a permanent gallery, it's not a permanent one dealer at any given time. It's different people that are able to come in and show their work off for a month, 6 months. If somebody wants to come in and do a school, they can do a school for 3 months during the summer and teach people how to do pottery or do woodworking or do whatever they have without disturbing the neighbors. That's the nice thing about everything being in concrete.
I guess I have no more questions.
If you go online and pop up art galleries, there's a whole bunch of different ideas that people show for pop up art galleries.
Okay, thank you.
Cool. They're much bigger in Europe than they are in the United States.
Does anyone else from the public like to come forward and speak on this?
I didn't hear it.
We're just asking if anyone else would like to come forward at this time.
Okay.
If not, we will pick the rules back up.
Move to resume regular session.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
I'll move to approve.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. I think we have to do
for
both. For item one. Okay, so item number 11, action regarding petition from Thomas M. Ulrich requesting a conditional use permit approval for the residential and retail trade service mixed use on the parcel previously located in item number 10 on the agenda.
If I can just add that reemphasize that if there are any additions to the building, such as like the second story, that would come before the plan commission through site plan review. So some of those details that I think are worked out right now will work themselves out, even if the building isn't added on and it doesn't come back before the plan commission. Like future square tank reservoir, future phases, parking will be identified, the needs will be identified, but right now what they're being proposed meets the needs. So.
I'll move to approve the second portion of this. Just the comment is this is really an interesting and fun use of that building, and I'm really pleased to see someone caring for it.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Both carried.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay, we'll move to item number 12, action regarding a petition from McDonald's USA LLC requesting final approval of a plan development district to renovate the existing drive-through restaurant on parcel AL-50-8 located at 1903 South Webster Avenue and legally described as part of parcel 14E and continue to be described in the agenda item number 12. Okay, Trevor?
Yes, and we actually have a representative joining us via the phone as well.
Wow.
Your battery didn't
work. We're going international today. Kevin Shea, he is the architect with William Form. He is joining us from Minneapolis.
Hi, Kevin. It's Brad.
But as this was discussed at previous meetings,
we unfortunately have some technical difficulties, so we have my phone, and I'm going to hook it up to a microphone, and hopefully you can hear everything, okay? All right. Thank you.
So as was discussed at previous meetings, this originally came to Planning Commission or through the PDD process at the request of McDonald's because they are a existing non-conforming use. We do not allow drive-throughs, as previously stated, another agenda item. We do not allow drive-throughs in commercial zoning. The amount of renovation they're doing exceeds the amount allowable for a non-conforming use in commercial zoning. So then that jumped them to the PDD process. And so it was determined at a previous meeting that the proposed use and the design they're proposing meets the what's called for in the comprehensive plan for this parcel. And so this stage of the PDD is looking at more of the site-specific details in the site layout. There are, in staff comments, there are a couple of other comments, I think all relatively minor in nature. I did speak with Kevin on the phone last week, and he addressed several of them, or said he will have them addressed prior to receiving a building permit. So I think one of those being that they are still working out a easement agreement with the property owners to the south. And I did have one other comment I was going to mention. Oh, right. Thanks, Fred. And then we did receive a comment from the property owner today. I did not relay this to Kevin, but property owner to the east, he is complaining about some of the stormwater runoff that is currently being experienced on site. And I'll pull up the aerial here, but we did chat with the public works director, and what McDonald's is proposing is actually an improvement from what existing conditions are. They have slightly less impervious space, and then they are proposing some sump drains right here, which would collect some of the peak runoff exiting the parking lot. However, it does satisfy what our stormwater requirements require, but our public works director is meeting the concerned property owner to the east down there on Wednesday to further discuss those comments. I believe that was it. Again, Kevin is on the phone for any questions.
I noticed that they're looking at changing the entrance for the parking lot from the parking lot next door. Has there been a discussion with the other owners? Are they going to restripe that second parking lot to make the flow better, because it shows an entrance and an exit right where there's parking spaces, I believe, for the for the one next door. So they're working with them, or?
That, I would imagine that would be part of the easement agreement, would be the shared parking. And that was actually a request from staff, because if you've ever been to this location at lunchtime, it can be pretty congested in that location. So the request was, how can we, or the request was to alleviate some of that congestion, and a alternative that's being proposed is to move the parking spaces. So some of the parking spaces were further to the west, to the east, and help divert some of that traffic. That they are adding an additional drive-through aisle as well, to help alleviate some of the stacking that currently goes on. And as a result, this will all be one-way traffic around the building.
So when you drive in front of the mall there, you'd have to, rather than getting in line at McDonald's, you'd have to go up in the...
Up in the right, yes. And you can actually see an example of current conditions on the aerial, on the screen. Mm-hmm. Right now, when cars stack here, they block traffic going here from going left. So the alternative then, of course, would be to move the entrance further up here, and that way that would allow cars to turn left or right.
Back to the water issue, Trevor. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's just the amount of water we had this year? Since the neighbors complaining, I mean, they're just starting.
It's hard to say. This site is in existing condition, so it's not required under our stormwater ordinance to meet the strict standards that we would today if they're about new.
It just is odd that they mentioned it today, or is it just because they're aware of a change coming?
I believe it might be because it's being discussed.
Okay. The easement's still an issue, and that's about the only thing, right?
For the most part, again, there are some issues in staff comments, but again, Kevin thought they were be able to be worked out.
Should we see if there's public comment?
Yep, we can. Is there anyone who wants to speak on this matter? No.
Okay. Check them.
Yes. Okay. Is there a motion to suspend the rules?
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. It's not a big deal, but instead of the PDD, I think the proper thing is to rezone it highway commercial. That was brought up at the board meeting, and with highway commercial, then you wouldn't need the PDD. But that was my only comment.
Move to return to regular session.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
I'll move to approve.
Do we have to say as long as they meet the...
Yes, if there are any conditions, if you might be able to put that in the motion.
The easement and...
I think, yeah. But the easement, is there anything else? The other conditions met that haven't been met, which sound minor, which I'm not identifying here.
All right, there's a second.
I'm looking for them. Where are they written down so I can read them?
There are a couple. If you just want to say staff comments.
Yeah.
Okay, staff comments are met.
I still second that.
Yeah, sure. Kevin, do you have any questions for us?
I don't have any questions at this time. I've been working through the staff comments with Trevor to feel comfortable we can resolve them.
Okay.
Great.
All right, there's a motion and there's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Item number 13, action regarding Fox River Trail access and Riverside Drive crossing study.
So I think we've been discussing this. We brought it to your attention that St. Norbert College had reached out to us and offered us a student to work on a project that we had identified. And one of the projects we identified was better access of crossings to the Fox River Trail. That student put together a survey, which I can go through completely at our next meeting, but I do have the presentation that I was just going to quick thumb through with you guys that he did present at the Economic Development Committee meeting on the 3rd, I believe, and in the board meeting on the 7th. So he started out by providing a background on the trail. I think we all know that it's a Rails to Trails, part of a Rails to Trails program. The trail is approximately 25 miles going down to Greenleaf, 2 miles in length in Alloway, and there's approximately 5 public access points. Then he did do a survey, he interviewed different stakeholders, and he researched current community plans. So Brown County plans, what was being proposed for the Riverside Drive reconstruction plan by the DOT, our comprehensive plan, those things. And from the survey, he actually received 347 responses, which was pretty good. We threw it out on our social media. We emailed it out, and then we had several signs posted on the Fox River Trail with a QR code inviting people to take the survey. And as you can see, the majority of users access the trail anywhere between 1 to 3 times a week on average. And then, so the research question I guess he was asking or looking at was, should there be another access point in Alloway, and if so, where? His results or his conclusion was there shouldn't be an additional access point. And how he came to that conclusion was there's currently one public access point for every 0.378 miles, and from his on average, and so from what he heard from Brown County, his ideal number would be one for every half mile. And then, again, he received from Matt Creasy from Brown County that we actually have the most public access points of any municipality located on the trail. Current issues that were identified in the survey that there needs to be safer crossings on Riverside Drive. I think that's a kind of a blatant one that we're all aware of. More places to park and better lighting. Those were the top three responses for current issues. And so his suggestion was, instead of investing money on more access points, he suggests investing the funds in sidewalks leading to the current access points, sidewalks along Riverside Drive, sidewalks going to Riverside Drive, more parking on the west side of Riverside Drive. So an example he used was there's a parking lot that the diocese owns near St. Francis Park. So an opportunity he highlighted was potentially working with the diocese in either acquiring or leasing that property for parking. and then potentially having sidewalk leading up to that point.
Trevor, if that was done, where's the access point then?
Let me pull it up on aerial here. So Brown County Parks has said that they would be willing to help provide access to St. Francis Park.
Oh, okay.
If one was provided. That was back when we were discussing reconstructing Riverside Drive. So this is the parking lot currently that I believe is unofficially utilized. So to make it official would be either those taking ownership of it or having some sort of lease agreement with the diocese or something, maintenance agreement maybe. But then providing a sidewalk along the west side to get to that point and then connecting it to St. Francis Park. Again, this is what he was suggesting. It's one student's perspective.
Yeah. You'd also need safe access on across Riverside, though, too.
Yes, yes. So, as he had some of these comments in here, again, there's no sidewalks on Riverside Drive. People are nervous to cross. They're like a crossing at Willowbrook. And I think he referenced here, Becky, a comment maybe you made about someone doing the sign of the cross before they were crossing Riverside Drive.
Yeah. I mean, we have the access point, but it's whether you can get from your house through private property to get to the access point, and that, or walking across somebody's front yard because you have to walk down Riverside Drive to get there or in front of their business.
So when he looked at the access points, you said he figured an average, so he's not necessarily looking at gaps.
Right. So this was, yeah, and I think this is what Jim was getting at, too.
Right, with the map.
Yeah. So just a couple more slides here. So he looked at different crossings currently. So where do you cross? He broke it up into about four different sections along Riverside Drive in the village. And for the most part, people are accessing or crossing Riverside Drive evenly at those locations. This is where he made the recommendation, maybe some parking at St. Francis Park on the diocese property or at the terminus of West Lazar here, down by Kyker's Point. There is some space in the public right away to maybe do some parallel spots. Or even they discussed at the Economic Development Committee the potential of redeveloping GBCI. And, so then he included in his Village Board presentation the possibility that if GBCI were redeveloped, an acre, and I'm not sure where he got this diagram from, but an acre would get you about 150 parking spots. So not recommending necessarily 150 parking spots are needed, but kind of a reference, I guess. So, again, there is a lot of good data that wasn't included in the presentation that he did receive from the survey, and I haven't had the chance to go through it all enough to present to you. But exactly what I think Jim was getting at in your question, Angie, looking at the average and not necessarily the median or the gaps between those. So I think that's another piece to look at and see where the gaps do exist. But I think the value that this has is, number one, he did a good job with the survey because some of the questions he had in there were good and did provide some good information. But then number two, I think a lot of the comments were about crossing Riverside Drive. And I think that's a big issue, too, that, access points are provided, but how do we first cross you know, that's might be the first, one of the first things we tackle is how to cross, and then how do we connect to those existing access points. For example, we are constructing a trail around Heritage Hill Pond in this summer, and pull that up here. That's on the south end of the village. So you can see where the existing wood chip path is. This will be paved this summer. And the potential pedestrian could access it from here. There will be no public parking. But again, then that leaves the question, how do you get to that point? Yeah, how do you get across Riverside Drive, and how do you safely, as a pedestrian, get up to this point? Mm-hmm. I think what we're doing is great. I think it's also important to highlight that we're working with several state agencies, and everything takes time. So everything needs to be done in phases. So this is phase one, maybe paving around this trail. Phase two would be working with the DOT and property owners and getting a sidewalk and a crossing. So that does take time, unfortunately. But so I think the survey or the study what Riley did was important, and that it shows that maybe we are doing a good job with providing access. There probably is some gaps, but maybe we focus more on crossing and providing those connections to current access points.
I would just would hope that this doesn't deter us from in the future still trying to negotiate some of those access points whenever there's new developments going up along Washoe Trail.
And he did interviewed Becky with Friends of the Fox River Trail. He also interviewed Matt Creasy with Brown County Parks and Matt Haleda from Wisconsin DOT. And both Matt Creasy and Matt Haleda both made the comment that you don't want too many access points without a identified connection. So you potentially have someone coming up onto Riverside Drive and there being no sidewalk. And you potentially then have someone stepping onto Riverside Drive, and that creates a hazard. But then also you don't want too frequent of connections onto the trail, because then people are using it for a recreation purpose and they have the continual points of conflict. So there is some happy medium. I think there is improvements we can make as a village. But again, you don't want too many, because then you have too many points of conflict and you kind of, you know, it is balancing act, I believe. So again, I can present the full survey results when I have a chance to go through them, but probably at the meeting in June, and hopefully more members of the Planning Commission will be present too. So.
Okay. Was there certain action you needed us to take on that item, or just?
No, I think I just listed it as action in the event that you felt compelled to take some action.
Okay. Okay. Item number 14, report and discussion regarding village projects and property updates.
Yes. Really, the only village project update is, well, two. Zoning code, no, every month I keep telling you we're going to see it. I put a phone call into our consultant this afternoon, inquiring on the timeline, left them a voicemail, so I really don't have an update for you. I would anticipate it being in June, possibly. So, then the only other update I have is the Zamboni project. We're all anxiously waiting for them to break ground. The timeline we have for them right now is June 10th, breaking ground. So.
Can I ask if there was any more flooding damage on Sunday in the village? I know that, was there further damage or just water where there was water before?
We didn't have anything other than some water over the trail, East River Trail, and a few locations, but nothing made it up to any roadways.
Okay.
There was a lot of capacity. We were watching that all Saturday night into Sunday. A lot of capacity yet in our storm ponds, which is a good indicator that there's a lot more room to go before we would have any issues. So
that's good to know.
I was on the phone with the emergency management and Green Bay Metro all day Saturday through the night into Sunday morning. So they were monitoring it very closely.
Okay, item number 15, report discussion regarding updates from village departments.
Yeah, street work started today on Martha. The water and sewer and the street improvements that will be taking place on Martha, which will include the ability for two lots off of Martha to be constructed. And from that point, they're moving to St. Joseph, West St. Joseph, to get started on that. And they believe the second phase of the summer work takes place after school is out, so July, and have to be done before school starts. So we have quite a few roads that are being majorly reconstructed: Oakwood, St. Joseph, Longview, to name a couple of them. And then there'll be another list going out here shortly of streets that will be pulverized and repaved, or milled and repaved. Also, there are two other projects that I started. Behind Bethel Baptist, we'll start the engineering of another stormwater pond on village property behind Bethel Baptist Church. That'll be throughout the course of the summer, will be the engineering of it, and then construction to hopefully take place during the winter months. And we have a sewer lateral extension agreement that dates back to the 1960s with part of De Pere, where the Dairy Queen is, by Fox Point Boat Landing. That was recently brought up back to us for an addition. There's going to be a small apartment, four unit, behind Dairy Queen and between the parking lot, and they need to connect to that storm sewer, so we had to redo the agreement. So it was only 50-some years old. I think that's it.
All right. Next meeting date and future agenda items, I believe it's June 24th.
I did just want to, I think this is very important to bring to the attention. Because we're talking about the Fox River Trail and connections and everything and phases, right? I just wanted to bring up that St. Joseph Street, west of Webster, is being reconstructed, and that will include sidewalks on either side and bike lanes on the street. 2 years ago, we did a section of sidewalk from East River Drive to Libel. Last year, as part of the Safe Routes to School project, we did a sidewalk on the south side of St. Joseph. This year, sidewalk on both sides of West St. Joseph. So we're making those connections. It does take time, though, yeah. I think.
And then you get to Riverside Drive, and you go, okay, where do we go from here? That's the.
But again, those are future phases that we have to work through. And unfortunately, or fortunately, however you look at it, Riverside Drive is a state highway, and the state has jurisdiction on that, and so we're limited to what we can do or what we can ask for. Not saying that we don't try, but those things do take time. And then once you cross there, then again, another phase is working with private property owners and getting access to the Fox River Trail. So, this is an obstacle, but I think what we've done so far as a village, I think, is very good and significant. And I don't want to take anything away from that. I actually did hear something from a representative from Verbea, someone higher up, and they did. And this credit goes all to Public Works Department and Brad and everyone else, but they really did sing praises of what the village is attempting to do on St. Joseph and provide those pedestrian connections. And it's nice to hear those things.
Is at the end of St. Joseph, is that where the Mariner Hotel is?
No.
No.
That's
the Res home.
Okay,
and
I wanted to make sure.
Where the old Chapel Hill apartments are on the one side, and then the home medical is on the other side of that.
Yeah, I get mixed up because I was thinking if they're going to be building those condos there, then that would be something that we could put into. But if they're down one, down on Alloway Avenue, okay.
I think we'll get a connection and a crossing. I just think it's going to take time.
Yeah.
You know. And then I did have two other comments. They'll be redoing the parking lot in Green Isle Park this summer, portions of it. And then it is Historic Preservation Month this month. So hence the Historic Tax Credits seminar tomorrow night at the Crest Library. But then also, if you've noticed on our social media, every week we've tried to post something historic related. So we had an old aerial first week. Last week we had something about one of our pump stations that looks like a house on Dolphin. So this week our intern has something in plan. So that's it, I promise.
Trevor, when is the construction of Green Isle Parking starting?
That's towards the end of the summer, right?
Okay. So after soccer season, it's so hard to park down there already.
Yeah. Okay. Item number 16, next meeting date and future agenda items. I believe it's June 24th.
Yeah.
Any agenda items, possibly zoning code, maybe?
Yes.
Anything else? Anyone else? This time? No?
This time, I'm sure we'll have something more.
Yep.
We'll have hopefully the survey results we can go over with Crossroad Trail Survey.
All right.
Motion to adjourn.
There's a motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. It is 7:13.